I'm Natalie Liu, and you're listening to the Baggage Reclaim Sessions. Hello, hello. How are you doing? I'm feeling perky because in a few days' time, so that's July 28th, 2020, in case you happen to be listening in the future, I turn 43. There's a part of me that still pinches myself and goes, oh my gosh, like I'm in my 40s. I can't believe it. Because in some respects, I still feel and act like a big kid. If you watch my Instagram stories, you'll see I love to break out my dance moves, that I love my 80s and 90s music in particular, that I'm very into drawing and doing the things that light me up and just really leaning into those younger aspects of me that in some respects got put away for too long. I enter my 40s thinking, what the hell is this? What is going on? And admittedly, it was a few months after Dad had passed away. And it was a bumpy ride initially, but I can honestly say that I am the most me I have ever been. And I think that my 40s have really taken me to a whole new level of giving me full-on permission to do my thing and to be more of who I really am and to stop stressing out over all the things that, I used to care about when I was moving my way through my teens and 20s and 30s. So yay, here's to turning 43 and happy birthday to me. I'm looking forward to whatever comes in the year ahead. It feels like it's a pretty exciting time. Anyway, what do I want to talk about today? So something that so many of us struggle with when we realize that we don't have the best of boundaries and we would like to have more of them, or we realize that there are certain things that bother us and that we need to express that in some way through certain choices and yes, possibly through a conversation, is that we end up wondering, am I doing it right? Like, am I doing boundaries right? Have I said it the right way? Did I do things right? We look for hard and fast rules because this helps us to feel safer. We feel less vulnerable. In an ideal world, we'd love step-by-step instructions, a blueprint. Do this, do this, do this, and you wind up here. And of course, humans don't really play that way. So we have to be vulnerable. We have to experiment. It's on-the-job training. That's what life, adulthood in particular, is about. We have to figure it out as we go and practice discernment. We'd love rules, but as we have seen all too often with rules that we've tried to use in other areas of our life, for instance, in dating, a rule that appears to work in some instances is the same rule that doesn't work in others. And this can be really confusing to us. I think also we can get hung up on, is my boundary okay? Is this an okay boundary for me to have? And actually what we need to do is to be able to see the wood instead of the trees. So instead of focusing on, oh, did I do this? Did I do this? Is this okay? Instead, we look at how are we approaching things. And so when I created my online course, Embrace Healthy Boundaries, which is, coming up to like 5 years ago, I came up with the landmarks of boundaries communication. You know, I love landmarks. In episode 188, I talked about the landmarks of healthy relationships. So landmarks are features of a place that are easily recognizable and, can be seen from a distance. And landmarks, as part of our relationships, help us to not get sidetracked by what can be hallmarks, things that appear to say what we think they mean, but that could actually mean something else. Landmarks, so for instance, the landmarks of healthy relationships, which are balance, commitment, consistency, intimacy, and progression, help us to focus on values and boundaries. They help us to be more of who we really are and to have better relationships. We don't get sidetracked. We don't get into petty stuff. Similarly, the landmarks of boundary communication, it's really about if we strive to be one or some of these, we will be all of these in some way, and we will get better and better over time. We don't need to be perfect, but if we have our eye on these things, they help us to be in integrity in situations where we really need to quite clearly communicate our boundaries. The landmarks of boundary communication are compassion, congruency, clarity, ownership, and grace. And recognizing these helps us to stay grounded in who we are and who we want to be, as well as the types of interaction and relationships that we want to have. So they actually allow us to embody our values, our preferences, principles, and priorities for how we want to live our life happily and authentically. These cover off our character, so the moral qualities that speak for us, but they also speak for the direction that we want to go. They speak for the things that matter to us. When we create healthier boundaries, we can be more of who we say we are. We can move towards the things that matter because our boundaries reflect this. Boundaries are underpinned by one core principle that if we embrace it, we will enjoy healthier boundaries. And it is this. Boundaries are twofold. So when we know what the boundary is for others, it tells us what that boundary is for us. Even if we don't need to do things in the same way that we are expecting from the other person, if we know the boundary that we want to have, if we know the boundary that we want others to have, it needs to be reflected on our side. We need to take care of our side of the street, no matter how teeny tiny we might consider it to be. This stops us from being passive aggressive. It stops us from being aggressive. It also stops us from being passive as well. Instead, we have that boundary communication. We be the thing that we seek instead of expecting people to be and do things to make us feel better about things that we ourselves are doing that are not in our best interest. So, for example, we can be in a situation where we know that we don't like that person's ambiguity about something, that they may be sort of very cavalier and casual about certain things. And so maybe we feel a bit neglected and disregarded. Now, that is a very, very valid concern. And so, of course, there needs to be some sort of conversation, some sort of actions to take the ambiguity out of things and make it clear from our side the type of relationship that we want to partake in. That said, if we then express our upset, hurt, frustration, whatever we want to call it, about what the other party has done, but we continue to behave in a way that basically allows for ambiguity because we're being ambiguous ourselves and we're casual about our needs, then we're not cleaning up our side of the street. We're not being the thing that we seek. Boundaried communication allows us to recognize whether we are doing things from a place of self-esteem, you know, feeling good about us, or whether we're doing things from a zone of fear, guilt, obligation, people-pleasing, of having a hidden agenda. So let's go through the five landmarks of boundaried communication, starting with compassion. Boundaries require vulnerability, empathy, and kindness. And this allows for that twofold approach, because often what we want is to be able to assert our boundaries and we want the compassion and the kindness and empathy from others, but we don't necessarily have compassion for us or for them, whether it is before, during, or after we have asserted a boundary or asserted ourselves. Vulnerability means that we have to step up and show up and speak up for who we are. So we have to represent our values, our boundaries, and our needs. And that does take vulnerability, because the alternative, which is, you know, hiding out, playing it safe, putting it on others, means that we don't have to risk anything. We don't have to risk the possibility of conflict, criticism, stress, disappointment, loss, or rejection. But if we're not vulnerable, we also don't get to risk the possibility of being a happier, healthier human being either. We don't get to risk the possibility of evolving our relationships to a better place. Compassion is also about empathy, something that a lot of people say that they practice, but empathy, like compassion, is a full circle gig. So if we are not empathetic towards us and we don't practice compassion for us, we're not kind to us, we treat us worse than we do other people around us. Even though we might think that we're compassionate and empathetic to others, we're not really being that, because it's a full circle gig. In order to practice true compassion and empathy and kindness for others, we have to be willing to do that for us. Otherwise, what ends up happening is what we call empathy and compassion is us doing us a disservice in some way. We may have a hidden agenda. We may be trying to get things that we're not willing to do for us from other people. We may be giving something to others that we're hoping that they might blow back to us. So when we practice the kindness and the empathy and the vulnerability, it allows us to be boundaried in the first place, because we get to consider us as well as the other person. Compassion allows us to recognize our humanness as well as that of others, instead of blaming us for other people's feelings and behavior. It's the guilt that I talked about last week in episode 192, the over responsibility, the over feeling, the trying to influence and sometimes, yes, control other people's feelings and behavior. When we have compassion and recognize our humanness, we don't have to run around villainizing people. We don't have to assume the absolute worst. But even when we recognize that, okay, what might be considered the worst for us is the reality of something, instead of making it about us, we have compassion for us, we recognize the other person's humanness, and we also recognize the need for us to have the necessary boundary so that we can no longer be impacted to the same degree that we were previously. Recognizing other people's humanness as well and having compassion is about listening to ourselves, so not just disregarding us, which is something that so many people do. It's like, oh, this person's doing this particular thing, and my feelings are letting me know that I'm really uncomfortable about it, but what I'm going to do is use my over-logical mind to convince me that I am the problem, that I'm just difficult, hard to love, hard to live with, needy, too sensitive, psycho, whatever it is. This is where we do ourselves a disservice. We often refuse to listen to us because sometimes what our intuition tells us gets in the way of our instant gratification or the short-term high of getting involved in something, even though it causes medium to long-term consequences. When we are willing to listen to us, we start to develop a healthier, compassionate relationship with us. We start to realize that not everything that we think is a fact, not everything that we feel is a fact. We start to recognize the difference between us and others. As part of this, we also then become willing to see and hear others without shutting down, without going into an inner monologue where it's like the person is talking or doing something and then inside we're going, yeah, you're just so useless and blah, 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 blah. It's like, no, we can actually be conscious, aware, and present. It means as well that we, in practice and empathy, even though we may not agree with how other people do things, even though some of these people get on our last nerves, even though some of them have, yes, caused us deep pain with their behavior, we, in practicing empathy, get to recognize that another position exists. We get to recognize that we are not them and they are not us. We get to recognize the difference between us and them. Empathy does not mean that we agree necessarily with what the other person does. It doesn't mean, oh, well, now that I recognize the existence of another person and their position, I now have to forget myself. No, it's that we're able to recognize it and see how that can potentially fit into the context of what we are going through right now. And then we also get to decide what the healthier boundary is. with compassion. There are people, for instance, in our family who don't always act right. That's what we'll call it. They don't act right. They don't act the way we think that they should act. That maybe they have let us down, neglected us, in some instances, yes, abused us. And it would be so easy for us to sit there and be like, oh, well, it's all my fault. If I was a better kid, a better person, they would have been who I wanted them to be. That's bad boundaries. We are crossing our emotional, mental, physical, and spiritual boundaries to take responsibility for what somebody else did. And even though we are now older and we have the opportunity to adapt our perspective, we are refusing to have compassion for us. We're holding us responsible for somebody else's behavior, and we're not being honest with us about the other person. We can recognize what that person may have been through. We can recognize who that person is. That's the empathy. And that doesn't override what we have experienced with them, but it stops us from taking responsibility for that. And it also allows for us to recognize the journey they may have traveled to be behaving in that way, and for us to then choose the healthier boundary so that we don't have to continue to be exposed to it in the way that we have before. By practicing compassion then, in instances where we need to create healthier boundaries, whether it is with us or others, we get to become more self-aware, and we get to actually learn from the insights that we stand to gain from our various experiences. It's very difficult to do that when we're hating on us or we're hating on others. So then what happens is, by practicing compassion, we can move forward without resentment and be more boundaried. We get to forgive ourselves for what happened before, because we have taken ownership of our side of the street, no matter how teeny tiny that might be, and we've evolved our boundary even a little so that we cannot be exposed to the same situation in the way that we were before. Next up, congruency. Our actions need to match our intentions and words. When they don't, it's a fast track to pain. And it also leads to unintended consequences that leave us feeling bewildered and angry and resentful and frustrated, and sometimes feeling victimized and powerless and helpless. But they also lead to mixed messages. Here's how I see so many people do boundaries. They do the equivalent of, I'm going to count to three. I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. Nothing happens. They don't do whatever it was that they said was going to happen after they counted to three. Okay, well, I'm going to count to three. So they just keep saying, I'm going to count to three. Okay, well, I'm going to count to five. Okay, I'm going to give you one more try. If you do this, no. This gives out mixed messages, and it also damages our credibility. Somewhere else where we give out mixed messages, but we maybe think that it's more behind the scenes and going on within us, but we don't realize how it affects our general communication, whether that's about our beliefs, our ideas, what we want, what we need, or what our boundaries are, is projecting a sense of feeling one way about something on the outside, you know, through our actions and words, through our body language, through our facial expressions, and inwardly feeling and believing something else altogether. People pleasing is a very, very classic example of that. We can have this veneer of niceness, of compliance, of being pleasing. And inwardly, we might be smarting with resentment. We might be going for a whole load of inner turmoil, this inner monologue where it's like, oh my gosh, well, if I don't do this, then they're going to think this. And who the hell do they think they are asking me this? And can't they see how overloaded I am? And then outwardly, we give off an entirely different impression. The thing is, though, when what we do doesn't match what we feel on the inside, and it actually doesn't match our heartfelt intentions, desires, values, and needs, our incongruency, the conflict that is going on within itself, manifests itself in the boundary issues that we have with people. It manifests itself in the conflict and the criticisms and the stress and the disappointment and the rejection and the loss that we experience with others. We just don't necessarily attribute it to the conflict that's going on within us. We don't realize how moving our way through life, you know, acting like we are one person when we're somebody else altogether, you know, pretending to be something we're not, wearing the masks and the costumes of roles and people pleasing, we don't realize how this spills out into our life and starts to ripple into all sorts of problems. Congruency then is about us being in agreement with who we say we are, what we're trying to communicate, and our intentions. And the more that we are able to do that, the more successful outcomes that we have. Because when we're not being congruent, we are unaware of some of our intentions. And so we do things for reasons that don't stack up in the cold light of day. When we are congruent, then it makes it so much easier to communicate through our actions and our words, you know, what our boundaries and our values and our needs and our opinions and our expectations are, because we're being the thing that we seek. The amount of people that I've heard from who have been involved with somebody where they go back and forth over the lack of commitment or a problem that keeps coming up in the relationship that makes it difficult for there to be love, care, trust, and respect. And they're like, I'm not putting up with this from you. I have other options, you know. I'm going to leave if this isn't going to change. And they're there for ages. And after a while, the person doesn't believe them when they say that, you know, they're done, that they're exhausted, that they've had enough, because they've already said that they're done and that they're exhausted and that they've had enough many times before. That's the consistency that, you know, I talk of again and again. The consistency matters. Thinking that we can, I don't know, throw out a boundary once and then do something different, but expect everybody to remember the original boundary that we said we had, just messy, messy business. Ultimately, I think when it comes to congruency, we know we can get there when we're not doing the equivalent of, I'm going to count to three, I mean it, I'm counting to three, I mean it, if you don't do this, I mean it, I meant what I said, I meant what I said, and then we count to three, or the thing that we said that we meant doesn't actually follow through. Whereas when we start to understand the relationship between our actions, intentions, and words, and how we have to reflect our boundaries, we have to reflect the type of relationships, the type of communication that we want to have, we are infinitely more congruent than we have been before. Leading neatly from there, then we have clarity. Now, you always know that there is an issue around boundaries and our communication of them when hinting is involved. And up-leveling our boundaries, creating healthier boundaries, is about us having more direct communication through not just our words, but also our actions. What I see far too many people do is engage in hinting, which is a form of passive-aggressive behavior when it's not dropping hints for a game or a surprise. We hint because we want the person to do the heavy lifting of figuring out the rest of what we're trying to get across. We hint because we don't want to be vulnerable and come straight out with what we need to say or come straight out and represent who we are. We may fear hurting feelings. That's always the big one. And we might fear conflict and criticism, or that we're going to be rejected. But what we don't realize is lack of clarity around what it is that we are trying to communicate causes far bigger problems than being direct. We can't expect people to figure out a boundary or who we are when we're not being who we are, and we're also not communicating what our boundaries are. There are two particular examples of hinting that I see time and time again that lead to big problems. The first is dropping hints to try to let a person know what it is that we need or want, or to try and let them know what bothers us. And the other is about doing the same thing, but instead trying to make a point, you know, make a statement. So the first, I see this happen a lot when it comes to defining the relationship and wanting more commitment. Instead of coming out straight with it, obviously it doesn't have to be heavy-handed about it, but yeah, broaching the conversation and being honest about wanting to know, you know, what a shared future might look like, what it is the other person wants. Instead, it's like, let's go out to dinner. And somehow, the other person is supposed to figure out that when we said, let's go out to dinner, that that also meant, let's go out and have a big conversation about commitment. So then we get out for dinner. And we are like, oh, you know, it's lovely. Isn't it so lovely we get to spend time together? You know, I'm really, really enjoying this. Isn't this really, really nice? And somehow what we want the other person to figure out is that as a result of us saying that, that they are supposed to use that as an opener to a conversation about commitment. And they don't. So now we start to feel maybe a level of anxiety, frustration. Am I going to get what I want? You know, it's niggling at us. We maybe think about all the things that we've done. And then we're like, so did you hear about Barbie and Cindy? Yeah, you know, they just got engaged and are moving in together. And, you know, they've only been together for 3 months. So for all intents and purposes, that sounds like we're letting our partner know that Barbie and Cindy have been together for a few months and they are engaged and moving in together. But actually, the subtext of what we're telling the person is Barbie and Cindy have been together for 3 months and they are already engaged and moving in together. What's your deal? What are you offering me? Because guess what? We've been together for the same amount of time or for longer. Then what happens is the person doesn't turn around and respond to that or doesn't get sucked in by that because they might feel like they've been manipulated or coerced into that conversation. And so we start to feel increasingly upset and frustrated. Maybe we're like banging things around on the table, acting all sullen and everything else. Now, the funny thing is, I have seen this scenario play out time and time again. And the person will say, you know, I've been letting them know that I want a relationship and that I want more commitment. And I'm saying, so you actually said that? Well, no, like, obviously, I didn't turn around and say that, but I made it really clear. And they tell me how they made it clear. And I'm like, you really did not make it clear. And on top of that, you're not making it clear when you're being passive aggressive. You're making something else clear, like that you're pissed off, that you're frustrated, that you're resentful, that you don't know how to communicate, that you don't know how to reflect, you know, your needs and to be more you. But what you're not doing is actually being clear about what it is that you're trying to say. The other one then is making a statement, you know, trying to make a point. And so an example of this is that we might be out with friends one day and one of them says something that we don't like. We feel like they overstepped the mark. A common scenario with humans, you know, we sometimes get carried away with saying stuff. We don't say anything there and then, or maybe we look a little bit wounded and they go, oh, we're just joking or whatever. But afterwards, we play that conversation over and over and over in our minds and we are fuming. Now, of course, we've been friends with this person for a while. And as awkward as it might be, if we're still bothered about this for some time and we're still smarting about it, it could be a sign that we need to have a conversation. But what do we do instead when we decide to go down the dropping hints and passive aggression route? Well, in modern times, what we might decide to do is hint at our upset, our hurt, our resentment by not liking as many of their pictures on Instagram. And we might even do the same thing about texts. And then we get an invite. Maybe they're having a party. Again, this is pre-lockdown times, depending on where we're based. And we then decide, I'm not going to that party. And the reason why we're not going to the party is because we are letting this person know that we don't agree with what they said or that we don't like what they said. Now, here's the question. Does the person know that us not coming along to the party is us letting them know what our boundary is about the thing that they did, goodness knows, however many weeks ago? Exactly. There's a real lack of clarity around that. And we end up in that situation behaving in a way that doesn't reflect who we are in the main and that leads to tension and friction in the relationship and doesn't allow us to move forward with love, care, trust, and respect. What's also quite interesting is that when it comes to letting people know what does and doesn't work for us, you'd be amazed at how many of us leave out how we feel about that particular thing and how their behavior affects us. Often what we will do is be very generalized. So they might not even be sure what exactly it is that's bothered us, or they just don't understand. Okay, so this thing has happened and it is a problem because of this. So we leave that out. And what we actually have to do is own our words and avoid being woolly. So many of us, when we intend to have boundaries, use disclaimer words and phrases. We say things that undermine our intent and possibly create an entirely different interpretation of things. We keep saying just and actually, I'm just saying, you know, I just want to let you know. And so we're trying to minimize us in some way. We say, I don't mean to be rude. Like us voicing a concern, for instance, is rude. Like there's a possibility that it's going to be interpreted as that. So we're planting the seeds of rudeness. We will say, I know I'm only, you know, I know I'm only whatever age, or I know I'm only whatever type of person, or I know I'm only a lowly secretary, or whatever it might be. Again, we're putting us down. We keep saying sorry again and again, so that after a while we'll feel rubbish because it feels like we're apologizing for breathing and it feels like we're apologizing for having a boundary. But also, in some instances, we say sorry so much, it starts to sound like we are the one who has done something wrong instead of the other person. We are belittling our intent when we do this, and we're not being clear. With clarity, the best thing to do is to go the distance, to say more than you are comfortable with. Because what we often do is think that we have gone, for instance, 70% of the way, and that the person can pick up the rest and run with it and take it to 100%. But our idea of 70% might be 50 or 30. And on top of that, even if we are getting to 70%, we might be leaving out the vital bits of information that we need to communicate. When we communicate more clearly, we communicate with that clarity and the compassion and the congruency that I've already mentioned, we know where we stand, and so do they. Ultimately, clarity does require vulnerability and taking responsibility for our feelings. And in doing so, we end up having a much clearer relationship with us because we are consistently feeling our feelings and using those to helpfully guide us to a better place through the boundaries that we're creating with others. Next up is ownership. Creating healthy boundaries is about having a clear sense of responsibility. So knowing where we end and others begin. If we don't create healthy boundaries or even know what they are, it is shorthand for I don't know what is my responsibility. This then becomes us either being over responsible, so we try to take responsibility for everything and anything, and we go around trying to take care of other people's feelings and behavior and constantly blaming ourselves and the people pleasing and whatever else, or we go the other route and we are under responsible. So we avoid any and all responsibility. And it's like, I didn't do it. It's your fault. You're the persecutor. I'm the victim. In instances where we do wrong, it's like, well, yeah, I did that, but actually it's your fault. So somehow we always manage to make it that it is not our responsibility. And whether we are over responsible or under responsible, it's a problem. And it reflects really, really unhealthy boundaries. We are unable to take responsibility for us. And so we can't have healthy relationships. We can't have healthy interactions. We can't make healthy choices. Of course, some of us will argue, well, you know what? It's better for us to be over responsible because there's something more benevolent about that. And we're nice and we're kind and whichever else. And it's better than being somebody who doesn't take responsibility. And while I get that, both of them are boundary problems just at different ends of the spectrum. And either way, they're not a place where we can stay if we want to actually have mutually fulfilling relationships of love, care, trust, and respect, and to feel good about us. When we practice ownership in our communication, and remember, communication isn't all verbal. It's as much about what we don't say as it is about what we say. It's as much about what we do as it is about what we don't do. So when we practice boundary communication and we have this sense of ownership, we are willing to pay attention to how we feel instead of denying our feelings or rationalizing them and taking responsibility for other people's stuff, and then also expecting other people to change in order to make us feel better. When we practice ownership, it really pulls in that congruency because we stop expecting people to be and do things that we haven't created the boundary, the atmosphere for. So an example of this is, I hear from so many people who are like, I'm so done with dating. I am so ready to be in a relationship. I am so ready for the real deal. Great. The thing is that we have to create boundaries that reflect that. If we then start going out with somebody else and we have the same boundaries that we had in a relationship that we don't like, then we are going to recreate problems that stem from that same boundary issue. So next thing, I hear from those same people and they are in some casual setup or an ambiguous one, or they are in a relationship and the person has made it clear, I'm not interested in commitment, or I am interested in commitment, but I want it to be this way and I don't want to, for instance, have kids or ever get married or ever move in or whatever it is. And the thing is that ownership means taking ownership of who we are and who we say we want to become. Taking ownership of how we feel and how we want to continue to feel. Taking ownership of the life that we say that we want to create. We are communicating who we are all the time in everything that we do. And part of that is coming through from our boundaries. And if our boundaries do not reflect the person that we say that we want to be and the life that we want to create, we are sending mixed messages and we're doing us and potentially our relationships a disservice. The ownership as well, though, is also about in instances where part of us communicating our boundaries is us letting the person know what we feel about something that they did, or we're saying something about them, that we are careful not to project our feelings about ourselves onto them and then call it theirs, or project our behavior and call it theirs. And that we also base what we're saying on knowledge, like not assumptions and denial and rationalizing and minimizing and excusing. I see this so much. And what happens in those instances is we overstep the line. Boundaries is so much more than saying no or letting people know when they piss us off. Boundaries is actually just about creating a life that looks and feels like ours, that reflects our values and our needs. And we need to create boundaries about that. Otherwise, how will we know when we are there? And we're going to let in all sorts of people and things and situations that do not reflect who we are in terms of character and the life that we want to lead. But of course, in some instances, us communicating our boundaries is going to be about having a conversation about something that doesn't work for us. Handy hint, very much about ownership. If in a conversation you're turning around and saying, my boundaries are, you're not being boundaried. Because there are ways for us to communicate our boundaries through our actions, through our words, through what we don't do, from what we don't say. There are all these different things. But also it's like, actually, use I statements. Don't turn around and say, you feel, you think, and basically start telling the person all of these things, because it sets up a situation where the back is going to go up. They're probably going to try and blow a hole in our argument, but it's also, it's not a boundaries loving communication. Telling people what they think and what they're doing without taking ownership of what we think and what we're doing is always going to be a boundary problem. Last, but certainly not least, we have grace. One of the things I think that makes our attitude to boundaries so tricky is sometimes we go in there like a bull in a china shop. Do you remember that film Borat from years ago? I think I watched that when I was pregnant with my first daughter. So I think that might be like, I don't know, 2007. But anyway, I digress. There's a scene in it where Borat is in an antique shop in the US. and he touches, I don't know, one thing, and in his attempts to try to avoid being clumsy, he ends up smashing up everything. So I sometimes see how people are with boundaries just like that. That the more that they try to sort of control things and try to rule things, is the more things that break, the more things that sort of come apart. When we see boundaries as a way of telling people what to do, of ruling others, of controlling the situation, we are always going to wind up in problems. Whenever we see boundaries purely as, this is just my way of telling people how they've pissed me off and let me down, we're always going to wind up in problems. When we are honest, it is the truth with respect. In the times that we live in, and for quite some time, especially with the advent of social media, a lot of people think that, oh, just spouting off whatever you think is honesty. No, it's not. Honesty is the truth with respect. When we go online and we're, for instance, I don't know, slagging off somebody's appearance, you know, saying all sorts of stuff, we're not being boundaries in that instance. We're not really being honest because we're not being honest about our intentions. We're not being honest about whatever dark aspect of us that we are projecting in that particular situation. So when we practice grace in our communication, we express our feelings and beliefs and ideas as well as our truth with respect. And we see boundaries as a way to grow a relationship, not as a means of ruling others. And when we come from that place, we are unlikely to cross boundaries because we're not going to be trying to influence and control the other person's behavior. We're not going to have a hidden agenda. We're not going to go in there with this lack of awareness about our resentment and try to basically dump it on them or try to call them all sorts of things. We will see boundaries as a way to grow a relationship, not to rule others. And this changes our mindset, our attitude and behavior. It brings us back to the twofold approach that I talked about at the start. When we practice grace, we are giving us the grace to recognize that we are not in a perfect world, that people aren't perfect, that people do mess up, and also that there is an opportunity to evolve ourselves and this situation. Even though it might not involve ever dealing with this person again, that in some way, shape, or form, we will get to be better off in terms of growth and healing and learning as a result of having been through the situation. Our boundaries can be better if we practice it with grace. So tying in with the compassion and the congruency and the ownership and the clarity, that grace means that we don't inadvertently or, yes, intentionally engage in attention seeking. Because something that I see a lot of people do, and, you know, we've all been guilty of it at some point, is that we're already peeved about something. We're already holding on to these hoarded up resentments that we have about something. And then something happens and we seize on it as an opportunity to finally let rip, to let out all of these pent up feelings and thoughts. That's not grace. That's not boundaries. That's just us taking advantage of an opportunity to let out something that we were already holding on to. When we practice the grace, we won't do that attention seeking. We won't create situations that allow us to finally express a belated need. We won't get into conflicts or into boundary problems with people that bring us to our knees as a way of trying to call our attention to our needs from other people in our lives. So for instance, we won't get into boundary issues with, I don't know, friends or romantic partners as a way to try to get the attention of our parents in some sort of backhanded way. We will ultimately stay in our lane. It is, again, recognizing our humanness, not jumping all over other people's stuff and trying to take responsibility for their feelings and behavior. And it also means that we cut back on the people pleasing and stop seeing the worst in others. Now, yes, sometimes what we might see as the worst is the absolute truth. But sometimes what we do is we get annoyed about something and we build it all up in our heads. We refuse to have a conversation about it and we decide that somebody is a villain, that they're a terrible person and all of these things. We decide how things are going to go without actually having the conversation. When we practice the grace, we're like, do you know what? I haven't had a conversation yet. I haven't created a boundary yet. Once I do that, then I'll know where I'm at. And in those instances where the person is actually being or doing something that reflects the worst of what we think it might be, then we also recognize, do you know what? This is my time to step out of this and create the boundaries that I need so that I can take care of me. And we don't make it into a war. We don't turn it into a power struggle where it's like, I need to overcome this person and prove that I'm right and they're wrong, or that I'm the winner or that I'm the loser. Grace means that we stick to who we are and that we stay in our lane. So I've just been through the 5 landmarks of boundaried communication. These are the signposts, the features, the things you can recognize when you are communicating who you are, what doesn't work for you from a boundaried place. At no point have I talked about, oh, well, is that boundary okay? Is it okay if I have this kind of boundary? Because there isn't any need when we understand what the landmarks are. Now, there might be a part of it that's like, okay, well, I get the whole compassion and a congruency and blah, 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 blah. But seriously, like, how? Boundaries means knowing the difference between our thoughts and somebody else's thoughts, our feelings and somebody else's feelings, our body and somebody else's body, our stuff and somebody else's stuff. What works for us and what works for somebody else. It's knowing where we end and where others begin. We can reach the landmarks of boundary communication when we strive to know the difference between us and others, to know where we end and others begin. So we know the difference between our feelings and somebody else's feelings, our thoughts and somebody else's thoughts, our body and somebody else's body, our stuff versus somebody else's stuff. When we do this, we will become those landmarks. We will practice those. We will embody these in our communication. We will recognize when we are projecting what we think, feel, and do onto somebody else and calling it their stuff. Because we are aware of what healthy boundaries are, when we recognize what we don't like about something, or yes, someone, we will be like, oh, boundaries are twofold. Now that I recognize what the boundary is for this situation, what the boundary is for this particular person, what is it that I need to do on my end of the street, even if the other person doesn't do that? What's the boundary that I need to have for me so that I can evolve out of this situation? When you are expressing who you are and creating healthy boundaries to reflect that, your self-esteem will grow. Your relationships will grow. Your experiences will grow. You will feel better about you. You will have the space to exhale and enjoy your life. You will also know that you are considering others as well as yourself, because that is self-care. It's not about I am more important than everyone. It is about I am as important as everyone else. I matter as much as everyone else, and factoring you into the decisions that you're making. Ultimately, when it comes to boundaries, the more that we create boundaries and allow us to evolve our boundaries is the more that we forgive our younger selves for the situations that we've been in before. Every time we strive to up level, to update our boundaries a bit, we are allowing us to move on. If we do not create the healthier boundaries that we need for something, we can't move on, because the situations that reflect the old boundaries will keep on coming back round. So yeah, when we create healthier boundaries, we create a better life for us. Boundaries are twofold. When we know what the boundary is for others, we know what the boundary is for us. No matter how teeny tiny we might consider it to be, this gives us the power to immediately make a difference to our life. We do not need to wait around for everybody else to turn around and do something. It turns out if we know what the boundary is, we can live it right now. Thank you so much for listening. See you next time when I'm 43 years old, and take care of you. If you would like to say hi, or you have a quick question, or you would like to let me know what you thought of an episode, the best place to get a hold of me is on Instagram, @natlue. That's NATLUE. You can also reach me by email. That's podcast@baggagereclaim.com. And I'm also on Twitter and Facebook. And links to all of these will be in the show notes at baggagereclaim.co.uk/193. Did you know that aside from the podcast, there's also a blog which features over 1,600 posts? It covers a broad range of topics, including emotional unavailability, how to recognize healthy relationships from unhealthy ones, as well as how to live and love with more self-esteem. Head on over to baggagereclaim.co.uk or .com. You can also find a list of all episodes so far at baggagereclaim.co.uk/podcast, where you will also find information about how to subscribe, are you not subscribed yet, as well as how to rate and review the show. Rating the Baggage Reclaim sessions on Apple Podcasts is really good at helping the show to grow and catch more eyes.